pastor or not? Some of those questions just literally cannot be answered. And how much money to plan for those kind of urgent needs is little more than a guess. Under our present plan of action for this congregation, one of the biggest guesses of all has to do with the income side of the equation. How much money will be given during the year, be available through the year to fund the work that this congregation does? I suppose that several of us may have possibly from time to time found ourselves in a situation where you couldn't pay a bill because the money just simply didn't come in, or some unexpected major emergency arose and the money had to be taken to pay for that, and then something a little further down the line didn't get taken care of. And in fact, probably many of us have been in situations where we found ourselves looking and hunting and scraping and trying to pull together every penny we could to take care of something that is urgent and maybe even unexpected. While that is an extreme illustration in our consideration this morning, from our elders' standpoint, we don't ever want a situation like that to be the case for this congregation. Fortunately, we've got some reserves in our bank account that can be used for just such things. But as we've been told for the past several years, those reserves are diminishing. And every year that goes by, including this one, that we don't quite meet our budget with our giving, we eat up more of those reserves. And it's just a simple matter of addition and subtraction. You don't have to be sitting next to one of the accountants in the congregation to understand how important these kind of things can really be. One of the best ways to make sure we avoid a situation like that, not being able to do something that we've planned because something unexpected has come up and taken a large amount of money, or one of the best ways to be sure we avoid a situation like that would to have a better idea of how much money should be coming in each week without having to wait for the number to come up on the board and sit down and do a bunch of math and see, well, this is what we've got now. It is for this reason that earlier in this year, our elders announced that we will all be asked at the end of this year to turn in purpose cards. Some people call them pledge cards, simply indicating what we project that our family's contribution will be for the year 2015. That time has come. It is now time to do that. And today, and Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to study some of the pertinent information on that subject. We'll observe also at the same time some reminders from what the Bible teaches us that we must do in the matter of our giving. If time permits this morning, I'd like to present three things to you. Number one, I want to give you the plan. Number two, I want to talk about the scripturalness of the plan. And then number three, time permitting, we'll look at some of the possible objections that some might have to a plan such as this. But here we go for number one. Here's the plan. Next Sunday, November the 23rd, purpose cards or pledge cards, whatever you want to call them, will be provided for each family to take home and prayerfully consider in light of the coming year. For the next 2 weeks, following the receipt of those cards, when you get the card for the next 2 weeks, we'd like for every family to pray and to plan regarding the coming year's contribution to the Lord's church. And we'd like for every member of this church to pray for the eldership and for the wisdom that is needed, not only in you being able to fill out those cards, but also on the part of the elders in planning and putting together the budget for the operation of this congregation in the coming year. Then, after 2 weeks, on December the 7th, we need to all return the cards with the planned amount of our family's weekly contribution indicated on those cards. Now, let me give you a few reasons why we believe this is a good plan. You know, no plan, no matter how much we like it, is really a good plan unless there are some reasons why it's a good plan. Number one, this plan will help us as individual Christians, as individual members of the body of the Lord that meets here at this place, therefore as individual members of this congregation. Well, the only way that you and I can each properly participate in this plan is if we give some very serious consideration to our giving. The forethought is necessary for the proper planning. And planning is referred to in the New Testament as purposing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, as we have purposed in our hearts. This thinking and planning will usually lead to better performance. And truthfully, many of us in this congregation could do a better job of our giving. We all need to seriously consider what we're giving now and what we can give in the future. You know, there's always the human tendency to think, well, you know, I know better and I need to do better. And one of these days I'm going to change this and I'm going to do a better job of this. But somehow we never seem to really get around to doing it. I believe this plan will help us, after some prayerful consideration and forethought and planning, it'll help us to make some improvements in our giving to the Lord. I think this system of planned giving will help us as of December the 7th, 2014. That's 3 weeks from today. To actually improve our giving in a systematic way. A system of planned giving such as this will also help each of us to be more consistent with our giving. There certainly may be times when we have been guilty of letting circumstances override our obligations to the Lord. In other words, maybe we put the Lord's part of our income aside each week or each month, but we actually still look at it sort of as a reserve that we can pull out of in case something happens, you know, before Sunday. Honestly, is that putting the Lord first? Is that sincerely acting on our faith in the Lord to do as He has promised to do and bless us as He's promised to bless us? Calm down. We're not talking about being reckless here. We're talking about putting the Lord first and doing what His Word teaches us to do. And the more consistent we can be with our giving, the more consistent we can hold the line against the temptations to allow the circumstances, there are certainly many of them, very unsure situations out there, circumstances that may arise that would cause us to, Lord, I'll catch you next time. I've got to take care of this. Honestly, that's not putting God first. When we plan our giving and make our plan known to the elders, we may feel a stronger obligation to make sure that we provide for getting our contribution to the Lord on a regular basis. One of the things that I'm afraid for some people, maybe this doesn't apply here at all. I have no knowledge one way or the other of it. But I do know that there is a tendency, especially for those who are out of town or going to be traveling, to say, oh, you know, we forgot about the contribution. I'll put a 20 in there where we're going to worship Sunday out on the road, and we'll catch back up when we get home. Pardon me for saying that that seems to be a pretty casual approach to fulfilling the requirements of 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, which says that we're to lay by in store. The implication of those words is to set aside ahead of time and make sure that we follow through with something. Not just consider it to be something that can be a hit or miss. I believe this plan will help us to get a better grip on all of those kind of things and to do a better job with our giving, which will in turn allow God to pour more blessings into our lives. Oh no, we don't give to buy God's favor. We give to express and show our appreciation and our adoration to Him for all that He has blessed us with, which, by the way, adds up to an immeasurable amount. This plan will certainly help us as individual members of this congregation. I believe this plan will also help the congregation here. It'll help this church. It'll help our elders to be able to know what they can expect and what they can expect to be able to do in the future year. Our elders will be able to make more realistic commitments to various mission works or benevolent endeavors. It'll even help us to be able to make better plans for taking care of the facility here at Redland Road. This plan will help the elders to lead the congregation through this coming year in a realistic financial way, preventing us from becoming overextended, so to speak, but also taking out of the equation this idea of, well, I hope we can come up with the money somewhere to do something like that. The information provided by each member on the purpose cards will stand as concrete evidence as to whether or not our budget can be met, taking us out of that realm that I just mentioned of guesswork into the realm of certainty. And this very idea should promote a zeal and an optimism, an attitude of courage and go forward attitude for the proposed good works that this church will be able to do in the coming year. It is a proven fact that congregations who use some system of planned giving, such as this, are able to grow and to increase budgets and thereby increase the amount of work done, the amount of good accomplished from year to year. Now, those are some reasons why we believe this is a good plan. But no plan, no matter how good it is, if it doesn't pass the measure of Scripture, will do no congregation any good. And so let's think about the scripturalness, which, by the way, Microsoft Word says is not really a word, scripturalness. But I think you know what I'm talking about. How does this measure up with the teachings of Scripture. Consider first of all what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 28. Jesus said, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Understand the context of this entire passage here in that place has to do with people who were not following through with their commitment to follow the Lord. Many were turning back and leaving the Lord and becoming discouraged, going away. And Jesus seems to key in on that fact and says, you know, it's just good common sense to count the cost and make sure you're going to be able to follow through. You know, that's a scriptural principle that applies not only in the matter of obedience, it applies in the matter of your own personal finances at home and mine as well. It also applies to the work of this congregation. Connecting that thought to the passage that Derek read to us a few minutes ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, we can understand then why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to use a term such as purposed in describing our giving. In fact, if you'll look at that context, back up a verse or two, and you'll notice that Paul tells the Corinthians, it's time for you to bring the gift that you have promised. And then he says, we should all give as we have purposed. Purposed means planned. And that's exactly what our eldership is asking each of us to do in regard to our giving for the coming year. This is also what is meant when we describe the task of the elders in preparing the budget for the church. I think we all know what a budget is. But the dictionary defines budget as a listing of expenditures for a particular period of time and the proposals for financing them. In other words, a list of the things that need to be done and showing where the money is going to come from to do those things. The dictionary goes on and further says it's a plan for the coordination of resources and expenditures. The amount of money that is available for, required for, or assigned to a particular purchase. Imagine someone coming up to you, or maybe even one of the elders, and saying, what kind of budget do you folks operate on there? Oh, we don't have a budget. You don't have a budget?
Nah.
Well, how do you know how much money you've got to spend? How do you know how are you sure you're going to be able to pay the light bill in January? Well, you know, it's always worked out somehow before. Well, how do you know you're going to be able to keep operating? How can you make sure your building payment is made? How can you support works in the mission field? If we run out of money, we'll just have to tell them, sorry, that's all the money we got. Can you imagine how good an impression that would make on someone if they found out the Redland Road Church of Christ on the part of the elders was being operated on such a haphazard, hit-or-miss system? You know, there was a time for many churches when the Lord's work was operated almost on a day-to-day basis, hit or miss, with little or no planning that could be done. There was a time when preachers were paid just whatever was collected in the offering at that particular service. I can recall in the mission field in Africa, when we would go to a remote village where Dad would be preaching, and as the members would come into the little thing, we'd call it a brush arbor, but we called it the church building over there. It was barely little more than some kind of temporary shade that had been put up for the purpose. And as the brethren would come in, one or two of them would bring a chicken in his feet would be tied together, and they'd just throw him down there. And, you know, before the service was going well, there were three or four chickens piled up in a pile down there. And every now and then, one of them would jump and squawk and cluck. And I asked Dad one time, I said, "What are the chickens for?" He said, "That's what they're going to give us for coming today and preaching to them." Obviously, that kind of operation doesn't make any provision for things like operating a food distribution plan or supporting foreign mission work. When the finances and the work of the church are carefully planned, it helps us to fulfill the requirement of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." That applies not just to conduct and behavior, as we've often limited it. It applies to every aspect of the church, the work of the church. Let's consider everything the Bible says about our giving and ask the question, does this plan help or hurt in accomplishing what these scriptures tell us we must do? Number one, the Bible teaches us that our giving is to be liberal, or the exact word used in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 is bountiful. In a consistent way, I think planning our giving helps us to be more bountiful from start to finish, avoiding a lot of ups and downs and peaks and valleys. Number two, the Bible teaches us that our giving is to be according to purpose, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. And we've already understood that that means according to plan. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a plan, a system that will help us to plan better our giving. Our giving, according to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, is to be done cheerfully. Now, obviously, this has everything to do with your attitude and my attitude. But I have noticed in my life, when I'm doing a better job, particularly of the things that God has placed upon me as direct responsibilities, I seem to somehow be a little bit happier with myself, and can approach a wider range of things with a little bit more cheerful outlook than when I'm trying to dodge responsibility. The Bible teaches us that our giving is to be done regularly, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. I believe the wording Paul uses there is every first day of the week. How could you accomplish something better in a regular fashion than planning for it? The Bible teaches us that our giving is to be done specifically. Again, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, using the terminology lay by in store. The New American Standard says put aside and save. In other words, this is specifically for my giving. One of the best ways I could ever dream of being able to accomplish that is to have a good plan to follow. The Bible teaches us that our giving is to be done according to our prosperity, as we have prospered. One of the objections that some people sometimes raise is, well, my income fluctuates. I never know from month to month or even week to week sometimes how much I'm going to make. And that point is well understood. Seems like there are more and more people these days who are in those particular situations. But you know, there is the system of planning to give as prospered that works a lot better than the scrambling around at the last minute and doing the math and trying to figure out. In other words, to give according to a plan could very easily be based on a percentage. I'm planning to give a certain percentage of whatever comes in, whatever my income is. It fluctuates, but you can count on me to give a certain percentage of it. You know, everything that the Bible tells us about giving is a little bit easier accomplished with a good plan. I think planned giving is really helpful. Now, notice with the clock on the wall that we've exhausted the time that's normally allotted to this sermon period, and in the interest of continuing this discussion, maybe tonight we'll stop here and take up with the discussion of some of the objections that some people might come up with that would be reasons why they think we shouldn't do or implement a plan like this. And I believe that any plan, before it should be implemented, needs to be looked at in the light of possible objections to it. In all fairness, the objections deserve to be heard and discussed, and if at all possible, answered. Otherwise, the plan isn't nearly as good as we thought it was. And so be back tonight at 5 o'clock, and we'll continue this discussion in that way. Right now, if you are not a child of God, the greatest need in your life is to obey the gospel, to become a Christian, believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be baptized into Christ, having your sins washed away, become a new creature. That's the way the New Testament teaches us that it's accomplished. If you've already done that, but perhaps have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not rededicate yourself to faithfulness? And if that unfaithfulness is public in nature, let it be publicly known that you're going to continue in that way no longer. God is waiting with open arms to receive you back and to restore you. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.